if you want to be a closer in sales, there's things that you're going to have to do to make sales happen. If you're struggling in sales, there's some things that you're going to have to do to fix your sales process. The great news is I believe that you can do it. One of the toughest things for salespeople to go through is a dip in sales.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
Aloha from Sacramento, California. Today is a perfect day to talk to you about sales 911. What to do in case of a sales struggle. You know, it's really weird. In the world of sales, it's a very macho thing to not admit that there's a problem. You know, just rub some dirt on it. It'll be okay. You know, slap a Band-Aid on the boo-boo. You're going to be all right. And I see salespeople really struggle with saying, hey, I've got a problem. I'm not closing sales. Because the fear of looking weak, the fear of looking like you need help, is that fear that everybody's going to dogpile on you. That fear that everybody's like, aha, sales guy down, time to take some money, time to take some jobs. Now, I will tell you that there are certain people that you need to talk to about this. I'm not saying go stand up in front of the office, jump up on a chair and say, I'm really struggling. I need some help. You know, I suck at sales right now. I would say be judicious about the people that you talk to and who you explain this to. First, for you, you have to be able to admit, I'm in a sales struggle. I'm in a sales slump. I'm not doing good right now. And one of the things that you could do is look at your sales and reverse engineer and see if there was a time or something you could do to pinpoint when that problem started. And this is one of the really good reasons to keep a sales journal. This is one of the really good reasons for you to look at your numbers and know what's going on. And I'm going to give you the most common places for me writing with salespeople consistently. One, a big check. You're like, Scott, really? A big check can cause a sales slump? Oh, heck yes. You know, salesperson's like, game on, I got paid. I made more in a week or in a month than most people make, you know, in 6 months. And then go out and go crazy and blow all their money. Two, a major change. Bought a house, bought a car, bought a boat. Lost a house, lost a car, lost a boat. Three, big fights with family, big fights with significant others, just big fights in general. Four, death in the family. Somebody passes away. Expectedly, unexpectedly, you know, there is grief. My father passed away 2 years ago, and there's still days that for no reason at all, I'll just be somewhere and start crying. Grief is really weird. You can have a death, and it can have a major impact. I used to talk to my dad every morning at 10:30, and sometimes when I look at my clock on my wall, or if I look at the watch on my wrist, and I'm like, man, it's 10:30. Normally, I'd be calling dad right now. Sometimes, you know, I get a little misty eye, you know, onions, and I think about that. Vacation. You would think, like, really, vacation? Well, you know, where focus goes, energy flows. I'm going to attribute that to Tony Robbins for today. Could have come from somewhere else, but today we're going to say it was Tony Robbins. And what I got to tell you is there's no shame in asking for help. You know, the best people know when they're struggling. Depending upon the sport, every industry, every sport has its own type of coach. So you take football. A quarterback's going to have a throwing coach. Quarterback is going to have some sort of coach for teaching blocking or setting up how to run a play. But what the one place that people really don't talk about where there is a coach, there's usually somebody in the background that quarterback talks to, that goes to and says, hey, I'm really struggling. You know, I'm going to be in front of 60,000 people in a stadium, and I'm really worried about what's going to happen. They have a high-dollar therapist, they have a high-dollar coach, or they have a friend that they call and talk to, or a parent that they call and talk to, and they get this stuff off of their chest. You know, the more that you hold in whatever's going on, it's a poison. And if you have to pay somebody, if you have to find somebody to talk to, it's going to be the best money that you spend. And, you know, either way, you're going to pay. I am going to give you a word track. Either way, you're going to pay. And you can have the conversation with a buyer and say, hey, look, either way, you're going to pay. Either you're going to invest in it now or you're going to invest in it later. And I'm going to tell you, paying for a therapist, either way, you're going to pay is for real. So either you're going to pay the therapist and get back on track quickly, or you're going to lose deals and not make the money. So would you rather pay somebody to get the help fast and figure out what's going on, or would you just rather keep struggling and lose the money? Me personally, I'd say, find that coach, find that therapist. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I need some help. Just be careful of who you talk to. I know some really good closers in my life, and even they struggle. They have sales slumps. It doesn't matter who it is. I mean, there's times where I hit a sales slump, and even the best people that I know struggle. And it's for the same reasons that I listed above. Big check, major changes, big fights, death, vacation. You know, there's something that caused that issue most of the time to make it happen. You know what should be on that list too? Just statistically speaking, occasionally you just don't got it. Sometimes it just doesn't happen. It's your job to decide how to deal with it. It's your job to put in the work. It's your job to put in the effort and say, hey, wait a minute. You know, I got to get back on track. I got to find a way to make some sales happen. This is one of the reasons why you really got to have a good support staff. If you're a salesperson, you should have a couple people on your dialing list that are salespeople of equal caliber or better. But the more better caliber salespeople you have, you know, it really does help you out. And, you know, when I was coming up, I had a couple of good salespeople above me. I had a couple of salespeople even to me. And then one or two salespeople who are coming up that, you know, they would call and they would say, hey, look, you know, I got some questions too. And then if it was a question that I couldn't answer, I'd pass them up the chain. I'd say, hey, go talk to this guy. Now, remember, this was way before like Slack and chat features. You know, I stopped full-time sales in the position that I was in like 2010. So they didn't have all these fancy technological things a decade ago or a little bit more than a decade ago. You know, when you do call for a therapist, when you do call for a sales coach, your emergency is not their emergency, and they may be booked out. They may say, I can talk to you in 2 weeks. And, you know, you may have a trainer on staff or somebody from the company you work for, and, you know, they have things that they have to do as well. So they may be 2 or 3 days out. And so this is one of the reasons why you're like, hey, if you got a problem, the longer the problem's in place, the longer it's going to take to make that fix happen most of the time. It's not all the time, but most of the time. So if you've been in a sales slump for 2 weeks, it's easier to fix than somebody who's been in a sales slump for a month. Somebody who's in a sales slump for 2 weeks is way easier to fix somebody who's been in a sales slump for 2 months. And your ability to have that conversation and have somebody on speed dial in a pre-existing relationship really does help. And I'll tell you, I do have a therapist. I do have somebody that I talk to when I'm struggling, and it took me a couple of therapists to figure out to find the right one. It wasn't like an easy thing to do. And I could think back in 2008, 2009, I went through a really bad breakup, and I told the therapist that I was seeing about it, and the guy laughed. And it wasn't that I wasn't struggling enough already, but to have a therapist laugh at the worst part of my life at that point in my life, man, it really pushed me under. You know, I'm thinking, hey, I'm paying this person a huge sum of money for 45 minutes because most sessions are about 45 minutes. I'm paying this person a huge sum of money for 45 minutes and I'm baring my soul. I'm giving all the details. I'm telling everything that's going on and right? And I don't know if this guy was trying to push my buttons because sometimes that's what doctors are going to do. They're trying to, you know, how deep in is this guy or this girl? But you know, it was just that much more soul crushing to me. So if you're going to do something like this, which I highly recommend that you do, it's going to take some work and effort to find the right person. It's not always an immediate thing. Here's the thing. You're going to have a coach, you're going to have a mentor, and they're going to give you some assignments. They're going to say, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to go, you know, give a presentation this way. I need you to ask these types of questions. I need you to do this type of thing in front of me in the presentation. And if you're not willing to do it out of shame, out of fear of looking dumb, out of fear of looking silly, you're going to get stuck in the sales slump for longer. And it's just one of those things. Like if you got a coach and they're really invested in making you better, most of the time they're going to give you something good to do that's going to help fix your problem. In the meantime, here's a couple things that you can do. if you're struggling and this is you today and you're like, Scott, I'm struggling today and I can't find a coach, I can't find a mentor. Okay. Because it could take 72 hours. It could take you a week. And like, this is where panic happens and this is where free fall happens. And this is where a bunch of other issues come into play. What you should do is sit down and take your sales presentation the way that it is right now, whatever you're doing, and give your sales presentation on video. And you're like, Scott, I want to do it on audio. Yeah, I get it. Like, you're listening to this episode for a reason, and I'm giving you my prescription. You do it on video. And you go, Scott, I don't have a video camera. I'm going to be like, you got a cell phone. Scott, I don't have a cell phone. Like, okay, well, then somebody you know has a cell phone. Somebody you know who has a tablet can record this for you. And, you know, most sales presentations, man, if you got a super long sales presentation, this might be a little bit different story, but most sales presentations that I've sat through at longest are about 30 minutes. So let's say you get your 30 minutes on film, you borrow somebody's camera. Then what you do is you go to rev.com or otter.ai and you have this thing transcribed. In the meantime, because that's not always going to happen instantly, you know, Otter might take you an hour and a half to get 30 minutes transcribed, okay? You create a checklist of everything that you're supposed to do on your sales presentation. And then what you do is you play back your presentation and you start hitting the check marks. What is everything that I'm supposed to have? Did it have this feature? Did it have that benefit? Did I explain this? Did I ask this question? Did I do everything I was supposed to do? And if you didn't, you're like, okay, game on. I know where I'm struggling in a couple of instances. And then what you do is you go to your computer and you pull up some sort of file that you write a document in. It could be, you know, Microsoft Word. It could be Notepad. It could be open source, whatever document thing that they call it. Okay. I'm doing everything I can to get out of your objections. I'm doing everything I can to be like, look, you're out of reasons to not do this. And then you create this checklist and then you print it out. And the next sales presentation that you go to after the presentation, you do the real thing and you grade yourself. If there's 20 things that you got to do and you hit 10 of them, that's a 50%. You know that means that there's a lot of work that needs to get done. You go through that sales presentation and you do 17 out of 20. You know that roughly that's like an 85%. You got a B+. You should be pretty good at that point. So, you know, if you're not sitting down and being real with yourself and saying, I'm either not going through my process, I'm not doing everything needs to be done, you can ask somebody to do a ride-along, a side-by-side, whatever they call it in your industry. You know, in the in-home sales world, if they say, hey, I need a sales guy to come ride with me, that's a ride-along. On the phones, sometimes it's a side-by-side, like when you're sitting next to somebody on a phone. Like, your industry may have its own terminology, and you're like, Scott, they don't call that in my industry. I'm like, okay, stop being picky. One of the things that you find from being in front of a room is the salesperson that is struggling the most is the one that's the most critical about everything. You want to know why? Because they get to deflect what their problems are. And when I go and I work with a company, I'm always looking for the guy or the girl that's looking for perfection. And then 9 times out of 10, I go to the manager, I go to the business owner, and I size up the room. Like, you got 10 salespeople. The guy that was the most critical, he's the one that's struggling the most, right? They're like, yeah, how did you know? And I said, because it's a beard. It's a way for them to pull all of the you know, attention from them from not doing their job. So there's a couple of elements. Like, this could be a mock-up sales presentation for you. I want to give you like the beginning of your checklist. Now, modify accordingly. This is going to depend upon your industry. So this is not universal. So, like, once again, if you're being Mr. Picky Pants, like, you need to simmer down now. So you got the introduction. That's when you sit down and say, hey, I'm a sales guy. Oh, you're a buyer? Let's talk a little bit, right? That means that's where it's going to be. You're going to set your agenda. You're going to talk about what needs to be done, what you're going to do, what your process is like. Next, you're going to have some sort of rapport. Oh, you like football? I like football, right? If they were talking to me, they'd be very smart. They'd go like, oh, you like women's beach volleyball? I like women's beach volleyball. Go Team Brazil, right? And then it would be like the discovery phase. Tell me about the problems that you're having, the pain, the problem, the risk. So here's what I look for when I ride with a salesperson. I'm looking for a couple of things. The pain, the problem, the risk, the budget, and the commitment to take care of the problem. Now, when salespeople hear this, they get this wrong. They go like, oh, pain, problem, risk. I'm going to go all out and I'm just going to ask some very intrusive questions right from the very beginning because, gosh darn it, I got to close this deal. So it's not conversational. It's very rude, right? So I'm going to say, you got to think through these questions that you're going to ask and how you're going to ask them. This isn't about the speed. This is about the quality. The next thing, you need the budget. Now, you don't have to ask, so, like, what are you planning on spending today? That's not what I'm saying. That would be, like, there's very few people who can pull that off the right way. And there's not always a lot of personalities in the world of sales who can say something and come across sarcastically and walk away with the deal. I know a few people who can do it, and I'm not saying everybody can, okay? So, like, play to your strengths. Figure out, like, hey, if there was a budget, you know, would it be between, you know, $25,000 and $30,000, $20,000 and $25,000, $15,000 to $20,000, where do you want it to be, right? You know, and that doesn't mean that that's where they're going to buy that. That's just like to warm up what's going on. And then a commitment. How big of a pain is it for them? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being they don't care, 10 being the most important thing in their life. Where is it at? And I'm going to let you know, if it's not above a 7, you're going to have to figure out why it's not above a 7 and why you're talking to that person. If it's an 8, 9, or 10, chances are pretty good. If you give a good presentation and ask good questions, you're going to close that person. But you know what? Some of this comes down to the way that you talk to people, the way that you ask questions. And I will tell you, the biggest struggle that salespeople face when they're sitting in a call across from the buyer, belly to belly, over the phone, over the Skype, is they get annoyed quickly because they want to speed up the sales process. They want to speed it up. They're like, if I speed up the sales process and I take a couple of elements out, I can give my presentation faster. I can get to the close. Oh, wait a minute. I sped through too much. The buyer doesn't know what they want. I got a discount or I got a price match. And then what happens is you take too much of a discount or you go to the price match and the buyer's like, ooh, you're needy, not going to work. And they bounce out of the call. So this is why I say, like, have your checklist, have everything ready to go. Next is going to be your presentation, right? Your presentation. And once again, the same dangers apply, trying to speed through the presentation. The last person that you're presenting to is not this person. They may have different questions. They may have the same questions. You may have to give the sales same sales presentation over and over again. It's not a sales call. It's a performance. That's, I mean, like, real deal. It's not a sales call. It's a performance. Next, you got to ask for the sale. Now, there is a point when salespeople struggle that if they don't speed through the process, they wander. And what happens is a salesperson will go, wait a minute. If I keep talking, I won't have to ask for the deal and I won't have to be rejected. So I'm just going to keep talking and I'm going to be like, all right, so let's talk about flowers and trees and the ocean and the mountain. But you know what we're not going to talk about? We're not going to talk about closing this deal. And it creates a lot of problems. So you got to ask for the sale in whatever way that you do it, right? My favorite, like, one of my go-tos is, it's really easy to get started. All I need is, like, just make it really easy. Okay. And then deal with the concerns or the objections and be very patient. So I will tell you that, let's say that you have a 1 hour presentation, it can take up to 10% of your presentation time or a little bit longer to close the deal. So let's say you have a 1 hour presentation, it could take you 6 minutes to close. So, like, you have to just pace yourself and go, hey, okay, they're not ready to buy yet. They need a little bit more talking. It's a dance. It's not a race. I'm gonna be okay. So let's say that you've gone through all these elements and you're like, okay, Scott, I'm ready to sell. I'm going to say, hey, wait, there's a couple more things that we got to talk about. You know, these are the things outside of sales that you have to deal with. One is, go to the gym. You got to get your workout on. You got to get some sleep. You got to deal with the significant other. And I don't mean deal in a bad way. I mean, you got to give them their love. That's your base. That's your people you talk to when you're in a struggle. And the sad thing is, most salespeople take their sales struggles out on their significant others and their families. So pay attention to how you talk to your family. Work on a hobby. And, you know, last on this list is, donate time somewhere. You know, your problems are going to be very insignificant if you're able to go work in a homeless shelter. Your problems are going to be very insignificant if you get a chance to go work at a battered women's shelter. You know, go find somebody who's struggling more in life than you are. And you're like, okay, I really do have it good. I really do have some things going on. I'm going to give you a couple of episodes to check out of the How to Sell show. Episode number 19, The Squeeze in Sales. And there is a problem with salespeople. I mean, I don't have the whole time here to give you all these episodes all over again, so I'm just going to give you a list. Number 20, Free Fall in Sales. Number 22, Adversity in Life. Number 47, Why You Feel Stuck as a Salesperson. And number 53, Neediness in Sales. So that's 5 episodes. They're about 20 minutes each. You know, there's about an hour and 20 minutes of content there. And what you'll find is there's a lot of resources in that information that could help you pinpoint why you're struggling and what's going on. And some of it, I will tell you, is going to be a little bit of a repeat of what you heard here. But you know what? That's fine. That's okay. You know, repetition is the mother of all mastery. I spent 10 years writing with salespeople day in and day out. I can give you the checklist. I can give you the information. You just have to, you know, put your effort in and figure out what's going to happen. Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.